This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. Just in time for the 102nd anniversary of the Armenian Genocide, a new film is hitting theaters called The Promise. The film stars Oscar Isaac as an Armenian medical student, Charlotte Laban as an Armenian-born Frenchwoman, and Christian Bale as an American journalist. A love triangle between the three main characters is set within the tumultuous final years of Turkey's Ottoman Empire and the Armenian Genocide. Because of its topic, the film has been roundly criticized by the Turkish government, which has refused to acknowledge the genocide and for years denied it even happened. Responding to The Promise, Turkish investors bankrolled a film called The Ottoman Lieutenant and released it a month before The Promise hit U.S. theaters, offering the Turkish government's perspective on the Armenian genocide. Joining me to review The Promise and all of the politics and controversy surrounding it is Stephanie Abraham, writer and media critic. She helped to found the feminist magazine Makeshift and was the founding editor of Loudmouth. Her works have been published in McSweeney's, Al Jazeera, Mizna, and Bitch magazine. She's also the pop culture correspondent and film critic for this program and is a regular person that offers her perspectives on these films. Welcome back to the show, Stephanie.
Thanks, Sonali. Thanks for having me.
So first, let's talk about how The Promise made it to the big screen. I understand that it was first released last September at the Toronto International Film Festival, which is the top film festival the world over, and it was critically acclaimed. And then all of a sudden, it started getting really bad reviews on IMDb, but the film hadn't even made it into theaters, right?
Yeah, that's correct. So Turkey has really taken a stance that it will not recognize what happened to the Armenians as a genocide, even though 1.5 million people died. And that campaign is very far-reaching. So, as you said, this film debuted in Toronto. It was shown about three times, probably not more than 1,000 viewers. And the following week, there were over 55,000 one-star reviews on IMDb. So this, and many of them coming from Turkey, sources are reporting. So it actually got up to 111,000. IMDb has since removed them. But this is a far-reaching campaign to deny that it exists. And as you said, they even created a counter film Ben Kingsley was in. And it just totally whitewashes the experience, saying they're just sticking to the line that it was a relocation because there was danger. And they totally deny that, that it was genocide.
So the Turkish line on the Armenian, this is the official Turkish government line on the Armenian genocide, is that Armenians were relocated. But The Promise attempts to show what was behind that. The Promise itself is a film that was bankrolled by a wealthy Armenian, right?
Yeah, that's correct. His name was Kirk Kavonian. Or Kirkovian, sorry about that. And he was a billionaire. He died just 2 years ago at the age of 98. He made his money in real estate and aircraft, and then he actually bought MGM. And he bought and sold it three times, the movie making, the movie, you know, agency, and then also the hotel. He then got into casinos. Some people love him and some people say that he was actually just in it for profit, but and not really about filmmaking. I would argue that this is actually his life's work. He dreamt of seeing this film made, and critics are comparing it to Dr. Zhivago, which was a love story with the Russian Revolution in the tapestry behind it. In 1965, it won six Academy Awards. And then the first time that Kirk Kavonian purchased MGM was 4 years later. So I think there was something, he was really starving to tell his people's story. And so he set up a movie production company called Survival Pictures. And that's where the money for this film came. They spent over $100 million. This is the first time Hollywood has tried to make a film about the Armenian genocide. And, well, actually, it's not the first time they've tried. It's the first time they were successful. So the first time they tried was in the 30s. And
which would have just been about 15 years after the genocide.
Exactly. And Clark Gable was supposed to star in it. And the Turkish government came out. They threatened the U.S., Secretary of State or some part of our government. And they also threatened the movie makers. And they said that there would be a global campaign against it. So, you know, part of the hurt around genocide is denying that the genocide existed. And that is just really part of the Armenian experience and really the tragedy. So you can see that in this experience. So in 2002, I believe it was, an Armenian Canadian filmmaker made a film about being a guy in Hollywood trying to make a film about Armenians. And he received death threats. He received word from a Turkish government official that Armenians in Turkey would be hurt if the film came out. I mean, the film did come out, but I mean, it's just really intense, the amount of denial. And so it's been globbed onto trying to tell their story through film as well.
And of course, the other context of all of this is that these are films, these are narratives created by Hollywood, very far away from Turkey and Armenia, although, of course, the Turkish government is a strong U.S. ally. But Armenians form a huge immigrant population in the United States. The largest group of Armenians living outside Armenia is in Glendale and not too far from Hollywood. In fact, very close to Hollywood, 5 minutes from Hollywood, if you will. So that context is there. It's almost like there is a proxy battle happening in Hollywood on the narrative in which one should win out. I want to play for our audience the trailer of The Promise. Now that we've kind of covered the controversy behind it, we'll watch the trailer and then talk about the film itself. Here is The Promise.
Tell me about Constantinople.
It can be magical. In the Grand Bazaar, you could buy the finest fashions from Paris and London, the latest automobiles from America. It can be horrible, too, just like any great city.
Were you happy there?
It was a different life.
A toast to old friends and new.
Christopher Myers.
Chris is a star reporter for the Associated Press.
May I introduce Mademoiselle Anna Kasari?
You're going to become a doctor.
I hear a French accent.
I lived in Paris for many years, but I'm a proud Armenian.
Mikhail, you make me feel I've come home.
These Germans want your Sultan to declare a
holy war.
Oh my God, what was that?
It's very dangerous for Armenians right now.
This is our opportunity. We will restore the great Ottoman Empire.
We cannot be here. We must leave.
What is the Associated Press doing here, Mr. Myers?
Reporting on the war.
There is no war here. Merely the evacuation of the civilian population to a safer region.
You are using this so-called relocation as a cover.
You trust no one.
I have to get us out of here before there's no time left.
He wants us to help his family escape. We have to help them.
I'm a witness to history.
How wonderful it must be to go back to the comfort of your American home and write about it.
We will make a stand, but we'll fight them from every rock.
Our revenge will be to survive.
That's the trailer of the new feature film, The Promise, hitting theaters in the United States at the same time as the Armenian Genocide is commemorated every year. April 24th is the day of that formal commemoration. Just 2 years ago, the 100th anniversary was marked by massive protest, not protests, but rather street gatherings around the country, which we covered on our show. Stephanie, what did you make of the film itself, setting aside the controversy with Turkey's denial of the Armenian Genocide Does the film stand on its own as a powerful document of this horrific historical incident?
I think it does. I think it should be commended, actually. I give it a solid B. Critics are really throwing it under the bus. They're calling it flat. They say it's boring. And in fact, I think it's really well done. There's some things that could definitely be improved, but it's visually stunning. It was filmed in Portugal and Spain and Malta, I believe. And, you know, they spent $100 million. It's not often anymore that much money is spent. The costumes are excellent. You know, there's just people everywhere. So you have these huge sets and countryside. So that's beautiful. The acting is superb. Oscar Isaac plays the lead Armenian. And he really carries it. His name is actually Oscar Isaac Hernandez Estrada. He's Guatemalan. And the lead Armenian woman is played by Charlotte Lebon, as you said, a Canadian French woman. So I don't know if we might describe this as Armenian face. This isn't a problem we had before because there's so few films made about Armenians. But as you said, you know, if the largest population, there's 80,000 Armenians 5 minutes away from Hollywood. So I feel like maybe they could have, you know, tried to have more Armenians in the cast. But that said, the acting is really good. And Terry George wrote and directed this. So he created In the Name of the Father and also Hotel Rwanda. He's an Irish filmmaker. He doesn't stray away from hard stories. The issue is that, you know, sometimes the script tells instead of shows. So one example is when we first meet the female lead, she said, you know, she speaks with a French accent. They say, you know, I suspect you're French or something. And she goes, no, I'm a proud Armenian. And, you know, even in, you know, I did an MFA in writing and they say, like, cut every adjective and every adverb and show, don't tell. So I think she could have said, you know, no, I'm Armenian or my people come from this village. And in her body language, she could have showed the pride. So I think the biggest flaw of this film is it tried to be the film of the Armenians instead of the first film. And I think I hope it is the first film. I hope there are many more to come. But it was kind of self-consciously politically correct in ways that that at times you're just like, okay, you know, like I want to make that conclusion. I don't want you to tell me that I should make that conclusion. On the other hand, sometimes it was just really moving. Like, for example, Oscar Mikhail is the main lead. He's in a camp and they're building the railroad. And then shortly after that, he escapes and he gets on a train and on the back of it. And then there's all these Armenians, you know, probably they're on the train going to basically their death, right? And so then you put that two together, like, oh my God, they're using Armenians to create railroads to kill their own people. But they didn't say that to us. They showed us. And that's the way it should have been throughout. But it wasn't always like that. Sometimes there was a little too much telling us.
Now, let's talk about the role of Christian Bale. He plays an American journalist. And of course, often when Hollywood tells stories about people elsewhere, there's a sense that you have to have a white American face as a bridge to American audiences, but then you risk that character becoming the white savior. How does the film address Christian Bale's character in the film? Because this is a film about the Armenian genocide, and yet one of the central characters is an American man.
Yeah, exactly. So that's another big flaw in this film is that the U.S. ends up being the unsung hero. They're not throughout, and they don't save anyone in that way. But he's a journalist, and he keeps saying, he says maybe two or three times, the American people need to know about this. And it's really important to show the role that the press can play in war times, because, of course, the Turks are trying to get him out. And at one point, they're going, well, to execute him. That's not a spoiler alert. And so, you know, but the problem is, no, like, people need to know about this, not the American people, as if, you know, the USers were the ones who were going to save the Armenians. And then there's a US ambassador who shows up, and it's just over the top. It's too much. He says to the Turkish official, you know, your relocation is extermination. And it is, for sure. But that was like a little too propagandistic and too much trying to show the U.S. as this great protector, which
is
not
true at all. As if the U.S. intervened, which it didn't, sadly. I mean,
no.
You know.
And they still, the U.S. government has still not recognized it as a genocide because they don't want to make Turkey mad because they see them as, you know, an important ally. And as we started in the Middle East and as we just started this interview, you know, you can see how far the Turks will go to deny it. And so to say that the U.S. is all about recognizing genocide is just it's a huge flaw within the film. It's not the main thread. And, you know, maybe viewers don't notice that, but it is a thread that it's just off. It's just off.
And of course, often our films, when we do address genocides in other countries, we never address the genocides we ourselves have been responsible for as a country. This country was built on genocide. The U.S. doesn't have much moral authority, unfortunately, when it comes to the issue of a genocide. So, Stephanie, the film, it sounds like you liked the film, that it's good that there is a film out there that addresses this issue, but there needs to be many more such films, sort of telling that history that is sadly being denied for power reasons, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, the New York Times reported that they're going to donate any profits from this film and that it's PG-13, so they hope to use it in high schools as an educational tool, which is amazing and really good. But I feel like, again, maybe that was like a little too much pressure on themselves to try and do so much in one story. You know, it would have been enough to just tell the story of Mikhail and Anna and, you know, even the reporter as well. So it's a little too ambitious, and yet still I think it should be commended and it is worth seeing. I would recommend it.
Well, Stephanie, I always appreciate your reviews, and we will be having you back on again this program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
My guest is Stephanie Abraham, a writer and media critic. She helped to found the feminist magazines Makeshift as well as Loudmouth. Her works have been published in McSweeney's, Al Jazeera, Mizna, and Bitch magazine. She's the pop culture correspondent and film critic for Rising Up with Sonali. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.